Last Lord's Day, we began a very important study concerning the growth of the Apostle Peter. We started out as Peter began his growth towards the Lord when Jesus called him to follow him, Mark 1:16-18. Then we noted Peter's next step in his growth towards the Lord was when he declared Jesus to be divine, as Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Matthew 16:13-19. Now, the next step we noted with Peter's growth towards the Lord was when he was taught a lesson on servitude. This would be in John 13:6-18, as Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples when there was no one else to take on that task. And so Peter learned a great lesson on humility, as did all the other disciples. Yes, and they learned a lesson in serving one another when there is a need to take care of that need. So what a great lesson that was. And then we noted Peter's next step in his growth towards the Lord was when he was restored, as we went to John 21:15-19, as we noted Peter had denied Jesus three times. And then after Jesus was crucified, and on the third day he arose from the tomb as God the Father raised him up. And now this is that meeting with the disciples where Jesus asked Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Well, Jesus used the word agapu for love, whereas Peter in his answer he said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee," using phileo, brotherly love. And Jesus asked Peter again this question, using agapu, and Peter again answering with phileo, brotherly love. And then finally Jesus the third time said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" using phileo, as Peter had been doing. Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." And again, Peter used phileo. So we noted, you know, that's a great lesson in having denied Jesus three times. Now he's stating that he loves the Lord three times. But the great sacrificial love, Peter was yet to learn, as he would later. So we'll want to pick back up now with our study concerning the growth of the Apostle Peter. And we'll do that in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes sir, to PFE. And we know that stands for preparing for eternity. If we don't, it's time to learn it, as that's the most important thing we could be doing. So we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street as the church comes together in this location to worship God and study His Word. We're striving to worship God in spirit and in truth. That would be in accordance to the New Testament pattern and with a proper attitude as well. John 4:24. I can assure you that you will receive a warm welcome, and we do look forward to meeting you. Something else to mention: if you're interested in sitting down together and studying God's Word, we look forward to those opportunities and would set it up at your convenience. If you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, you can send those to us. Again, our address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. Now, One other thing I want to mention, and that is our website address, which has our sermons for several years going back, radio sermons, and our bulletin articles and other information there. And that address is www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Very easy to remember that. Hope you'll check that out. Now, let's get back to our study concerning the growth of the Apostle Peter. And now we're ready to pick back up with Acts chapter 2. And we'll note Peter's next step in his growth towards the Lord was when he boldly proclaimed the truth on the day of Pentecost. Now, this, of course, was there in Jerusalem as the apostles were told to wait there, and they would receive power from on high. Well, the Holy Spirit immersed them with power, and they began to speak in languages that they've never studied. And thus, on the day the church began here in Acts 2, we're going to see Peter and the other apostles proclaim the gospel of Christ. And Peter boldly proclaimed the truth as his sermon is given here in Acts chapter 2. And you'll note, ye men of Israel, hear these words, verse 22. So, as you study this, you'll see Peter is proving that Jesus was the Christ. And when you get down to verse 36, you'll find that here is the climax. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ. Peter was not ashamed to declare the truth. He's preaching against sin, the sin of crying out to crucify the only begotten Son of God. That's right. They were guilty. Now notice, a number of them, 3,000 souls that is, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? What a great question to ask when you're in sin. What shall I do if I'm living in sin? Well, here's what they were told, because they believe Jesus is the Christ. That's already been proven. So Peter goes on to say, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Now note, they would have confessed that Jesus is the Christ, because that must be done unto salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10. But certainly we see here, Peter was not afraid to speak before thousands who were present for the day of Pentecost, the Word of God. Perhaps there were millions present, as all male Jews were required to be there for that great feast day. The Passover, the day of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Those three feast days, all male Jews were required to be in Jerusalem. Now they would, obviously, many of them bring their families. So you're talking about a large multitude. And Peter declared the Word of God. And he would continue to stand for the truth. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And just as Paul stated in Romans 1:16, For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We must not be ashamed of the truth of the gospel of Christ. If we're preachers or teachers of God's word, we need to love, of course, the sinner, and proclaim the truth about how to get out of sin. Not substantiate people in their sins as our society is doing today. Homosexuality is a sin. Don't let anyone deceive you. Stay with the Word of God. Study Romans chapter 1 and other passages as well. You'll see that one is living in a sinful situation if they're practicing homosexuality. Transgenderism, same thing. Transvestites. All these sexual perversions are sinful. And we shouldn't be ashamed to preach the truth concerning getting out of sin. If we love the sinner, we're certainly going to want them to get out of sin so that they can have salvation. And Peter is growing, you see, towards the Lord when he boldly proclaimed the truth on the day of Pentecost. He continued to stand for the truth in Acts chapter 4, 19 through 20. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now, we haven't seen the Lord in the flesh as they did. We weren't there to hear him speak vocally, of course, but we can see what Jesus taught in the Holy Scriptures and proclaim the gospel of Christ. Yes, we can stay with those things that we have studied from God's Word, just as they were doing. Acts 5:41 and 42, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, as they had been beaten. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. What about us today? Are we eager to tell others the saving message? Well, what if we were persecuted and scattered abroad? Would we go about preaching and teaching the Word of God? Everywhere they went about preaching the Word in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, did they not? And they were scattered abroad. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem, but the other Christians were scattered. What better thing could we do for someone than teach them the gospel saving message? Well, let's go on in our study of Peter's growth. The Apostle Peter's next step in his growth towards the Lord was when he declared God is to be glorified, not the preacher. Oh, no. As we go now to Acts chapter 3, we'll find a certain man lame from his mother's womb was laid daily at the gate there at the temple. It was called Beautiful. He would ask for alms as those that were going into the temple. And he sees Peter and John and as they're about to go into the temple and ask for alms. Well, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Verse 4. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name and the authority, that is, of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Well, you can imagine how he was leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Well, all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now we pick up with verse 12, and we'll see Peter's growth towards the Lord when he declared God is to be glorified, not the preacher. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? In other words, it's not about us. It's about the Lord. Remember what Peter had said to the lame man back in verse 6? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. By his authority, Peter knew that it was by the power of God that the lame man was healed. And so he knew what it meant to be blessed in giving. But what about us? Are we giving God the glory? How many preachers strut around like a banty rooster? I'm really something. No. We need to hide behind the cross as faithful gospel preachers. Are we giving God the glory? Well, we certainly need to examine ourselves, Bob Hawkins, as you preach and teach the Word of God. What's your motive? To glorify God or to make yourself out to be someone? You see, we're to never forget that without Christ, we are nothing. Well, that's John 15:5. Without me, you can do nothing. Unless we're attached to the true vine, which is Christ. That's right. We cannot do a thing. But we can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth us. Philippians 4:13. Well, something else. Do we realize that it's more blessed to give than to receive? Acts 20:35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, that's certainly the truth, is it not? But let's go on in our study now and notice Peter's next step in his growth towards the Lord was when he realized God is no respecter of persons. This would be Acts chapter 10. But before we get to verses 34 and 35, I wanted to note here, back where Peter is arriving at Cornelius' home. And this would be verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Well, note that the Catholic Church declares the Pope as the most holy, reverent father. And you're expected to fall down before him, are you not? Many want to kiss the ring and so forth. That, you see, is forbidden. If people would only know what the Scriptures teach, they wouldn't do such things. Because you see the reaction of Peter? He took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. He did not allow this. So obviously he was not the first pope, as the Catholic Church claims him to be. That's not true. We need to stay with the Word of God and not be deceived as so many are. So I wanted to point this out. And you'll see here that the account is given how, of course, Peter had received a vision and as he thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee, and he went with them to Cornelius' house. Cornelius then gives his account of what he was showed. And so, what's the lesson here? Well, notice verses 34 through 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Peter's growth here towards the Lord is growing, isn't it? As he realizes God is no respecter of persons. Well, Peter had been brought up as a Jew. They would not socialize with Gentiles until shown by the Lord the truth of the matter. Now Peter is learning about this. Well, we need to point this out, as this is really a step back in Peter's growth, and that would be Galatians 2, 11 and 12. As we're going to see, Peter needed to be called down by the Apostle Paul. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Peter let his fear overrule what he knew to be true. God is no respecter of persons. He was brought to Cornelius' household, a Gentile, a Roman centurion, to see that salvation was for Jew and Gentile. And Peter learned that. He learned that lesson. But here, he backtracked. Well, he stumbled, but he did not fall, because he took the rebuke of Paul, the Apostle Paul, and continued then to grow. Note, later as Peter would write by inspiration, 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Did you notice how Peter referred to the Apostle Paul as our beloved brother? He took that rebuke and continued his growth. So again, the lesson here is for us to ask ourselves, are we a respecter of persons? Again, as we're studying the growth of the Apostle Peter, we need to apply the spiritual lessons to ourselves. Are we biased towards others? Well, as faithful Christians, we ought to know that God desires all men to be saved, 1 Timothy 2:4, and to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is for all of us, 2 Peter 3:18. So we must not have biases towards others. We can hate sin because God does, but not the sinner. God continues to love us even when we are unfaithful, even when we do not serve Him, and even when we speak against the truth. He's waiting, of course, for us to repent if we're doing those things. Why keep God waiting? If we're no longer faithful, if we're not serving God as we should, if we're speaking against the truth, we need to repent. If we've obeyed the gospel, that is, then we would need to repent. The second law of pardon applies. To pray unto God, confessing our sins before Him and praying for forgiveness. But if we have not obeyed the gospel, we certainly need to do that first, to serve God and then remain faithful even unto death. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But what about us again? Are we allowing biases towards others to keep us from serving God faithfully, loving the souls of mankind even though they're in sin? As we talked about earlier, we need to preach against sin, but we're not to hate the sinner. We're to love the sinner. Those that are teaching our children to change their gender, we need to love their soul and teach them that they're practicing what is ungodliness and will keep them out of heaven if they do not get out of that sin and obey the gospel. Certainly that's the case. But let's go on. One final step we'll note here in the growth of the Apostle Peter towards the Lord was when he wrote the following, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, that is, his body, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Remember, back in John 21, Jesus told Peter, "But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." So we need to keep that in mind. The type of death Peter was facing was a martyred death. Yes. And you see, Peter is writing to brethren, "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." That's right. In chapter 3, 13 and 14, he goes on to write by inspiration, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." Of course, this is where God dwells, in heaven. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Yes, Peter, here as he's writing these inspired words, is soon to be put to death. But he has no fear, because he's too close to God. He's too close to God to fear death. Well, what about us? Again, the spiritual application needs to be made. Are we too close to God to fear death? Can we say, as Paul the Apostle, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain"? Philippians 1:21. Remember, Jesus promised, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Revelation 2:10. Well, as we close out our study this morning of the growth of the Apostle Peter, we note, yes, Peter grew out of ignorance. He grew out of weakness. He grew out of prejudice. And he was not fearful of boldly proclaiming the Word of God. And because of Peter's love for the Lord and his truth, for the gospel of Christ, he was ready to die for the Lord. Peter was put to death for the Lord's cause, as the scriptures do not reveal the account of his death, but historians tell us that Peter requested to be crucified upside down, not feeling worthy to be crucified in the same manner of his Lord. Whether that's true or not, we can't say, but it wouldn't surprise me. But again, what about our spiritual growth? Are we where we need to be? If you've not obeyed the gospel, we stand ready to assist you in doing so, to hear the truth, believe that Jesus is the Christ, repent of your sins, make the good confession unto salvation, and to be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and remain faithful. And we thank you so much for listening today.